contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll-free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have Internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose Direct Chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
All right, we are back live. You know, we have several guests that kind of rotate over the month. And I really appreciate the time that these individuals put into their presentations. Many are very passionate at what they do. Many are multifunctional. They have many interests and really help us all. And every month they come by and give us a little installment and share their wisdom. One of those individuals is Lionel Parkinson, the author of the book Holy Virus. One of those books to me that has been a life-changing event. And Lionel is normally here next week, but he is going to be out of the country, I believe, talking on this subject, being invited to speak in many countries on this. This is very encouraging. And so we had a little mix-up here with my other guests, and I called Lionel with like an hour notice, and he graciously decided that he could do this week since he won't be here last week. So holyvirus.net, again, is the book. If you look at our front webpage and scroll down to see his advertisement for his monthly visits, I do have links to hear his other shows, and you really should hear the full-length. He was on here twice talking about it. You really should hear the full-length interviews to understand the premise and then catch up on the back ones. You can download them and burn them to disk, listen to them however you'd like to keep up on the subject so we don't have to keep repeating a lot of stuff. And so, okay, I think I got that. So, again, welcome, Lionel, for being here.
Thanks again. I actually appreciate being on the program.
Well, then it's a win-win because we appreciate you being here. So what is, what would be another installment on this talk? We've went everything from the spiritual to the economic to the oppressive, the legal systems. I mean, you really are really opening our minds to how much the Babylonian system, the oppressive system, is still alive and well and in force today.
Yeah, on previous programs, I've made certain quotations on quotes that were what I believe to be one of the most important ones was coming out of the Jewish Encyclopedia, which was describing what modern Judaism really is, and they were describing themselves as nothing more than a Pharisaic system. And what I'd like to do, even though it rehashes a little bit of what I've already done on previous programs, it's important to just read out of their own lips, because this is solid objective evidence of what we're dealing with today and how it's affecting our lives, especially in the future. And I like to just kind of go over it, just a couple of paragraphs so we get an idea. Now, in their own book entitled The Jewish Encyclopedia on page 665, the following text states this. And this is going back to the whole Babylonian culture and how it affects our culture today. And it starts out by saying, with the destruction of the temple, the Sadducees disappeared altogether, leaving the regulation of all Jewish affairs in the hands of the Pharisees. Henceforth, the Jewish life was regulated by the teachings of the Pharisees. The whole history of Judaism was reconstructed from the Pharisaic point of view, and a new aspect was given to the Sanhedrin of the past. Phariseeism shaped the character of Judaism, the life and the thought of the Jew for all the future. So today's Judaism is not the real pre-Judaism prior to them being conquered by the Babylonians in 680 BC, we really don't have very good solid objective evidence of what life was prior to that time of that captivity. So bringing that knowledge today out of their own books, out of their own lips, we're not dealing with so-called true Israel. So I just wanted to kind of cover that really quickly.
You know, that is so important because many people talk about the Zionism and anti-Zionist, and you got all these names, you got the Anti-Defamation League and all that. And in reality, I've been saying, excuse me, that there is a difference between, we'll say, the government, current government of Israel, which would also include the church, well, what would they call their church? I don't know what the phrase is, their synagogue or their religion, versus the actual ethnic individual and the traditions, the teachings that came from many years ago. I mean, all the religion, all the churches, they're all been hijacked by political systems.
And it's That's very true.
And it's important to differentiate. So when you're talking, when you're criticizing the country Israel or the current Jewish religion, it's not personal. It's not Jews, you know, individual people we're talking about. It's the hierarchy that we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm simply using their own descriptions of themselves coming out of their own books. And this particular encyclopedia defined themselves the way they wish to define themselves. And for them to define themselves as a Pharisaic culture tells me a lot. And this is one of the reasons why it's important to see that that whole conquering of the true Israel back in 680 BC, that particular Jewish culture was completely wiped out. They were completely slaughtered down to about 10,000, and those 10,000 were essentially just were known as the children of the captivity up until the time of King Cyrus coming in into Babylon and taking over Babylon without any violence. He just goes in there and worships their god, Marduk, and the people just kind of accept him, which if one picks up their Bible in chapters 44, 45 in Isaiah, you have the author all of a sudden talking about Cyrus as if he's the great anointed savior coming from God. And this is where the author, the unknown author, is pretending to be the author of Isaiah, because Isaiah comes some 100, 200 years prior to this whole event. So we're dealing with certain tamperings of the Bible that modern Bible believers are not willing to admit and not willing to look at this type of evidence to see that it has been tampered with, and especially by Babylonian and Persian authors. So as an examiner, I simply wanted to point that out and bring it to light so that people can see their Bibles for what they really are, rather than trying to make it into some kind of holy book, when in fact it's just written by mere men, and in some cases, men disguising themselves as other men. Now, how that brings all of that today and into the law and politics of the American culture, especially when Israel was pretty much founded by the British Crown in 1948, we in America have adopted all the judicial laws, rules, and regulations that are copyrighted also by the British Crown. And our whole political system is based upon the successive kings of England, even though we proclaim to be a separated nation, and to some extent we are very much bound to their very judicial systems, and the fact that we're bound to that judicial system that I have discovered through their law dictionaries to be nothing more than an occult, I would have to conclude that the United States was never founded on true Christianity any more than Judaism was true Judaism post the time that they were conquered in 680 BC. So how that brings all that recap knowledge together for this program, I'd like to be able to turn this into how this affects us financially today, because what is going on right now is probably the most diabolical, I'd say probably the greatest amount of theft that is going on today in our country, and that is the changing of this culture from capitalism to more of a communistic socialist culture. But it's being perpetrated by the very leaders that are now installed. And what I'd like to do is go back just a few years and explain how this has come about and in the program in a way that can help the listener avoid a lot of pitfalls that are going to come their way in the near few short months, if not weeks.
Please do. We would love to have this information so we can act on it.
Since a lot of people are concerned about whether or not we're in a recession or a depression, or whether we're coming out of a recession and heading back up, the truth of the matter is all the facts are pointing downward. We are not getting the correct information and a foundation of truth to be able to make a good logical decision. So what I'd like to do is lay out a quick layer of foundation so that people can see where I'm coming from and the way I approached how things are going to turn out in the next few weeks and months and years. Now, as we've all been taught in the 1929 crash, that they pretty much had that crash caused by too much money going into the market that was leveraged. It's kind of like everybody was back then was buy now, pay later, but they were also buying stocks on the same premise. However, they were leveraging themselves out a little further than what they actually had to invest. So the stock market simply kept on rising and rising and rising on money that people really didn't have because they're betting on more than they actually went out and worked for. So everything kind of collapsed. Then they had a series of rebounds in the market, and eventually in the 30s, everything just settled down and went what was known as the Depression. What very few people realize is that they installed the Securities Exchange Commission back in the 1930s to keep that buying on margin and what they call a derivative, which is highly leveraged instruments that a person can invest with far more money than they had in actual, you know, ownership. They created that Securities Exchange Commission so that would never happen again, that the stock market would never crash like it did back in 1929. Unfortunately, the SEC didn't do their job. They did it for, you know, many, many decades, but in 1985, they pretty much brought back all this leveraged future derivative trading into the stock market, and they also created in 1989 on March 18th, what under Ronald Reagan, the executive order was 12631, and this created the Working Group on Financial Markets. And this consisted of five main characters: one, the president, the Treasury secretary, the Fed chairman, the SEC chairman, and the Commodities Future Trading Commission chairman. All of these make up that group, now known as the Working Group on the Financial Markets. That was back in 1989. What has evolved from that is a very diabolical, sinister group that is now manipulating the markets and stealing money from the masses as they went into the markets in the 90s and right into 2000 and on. For instance, $8 trillion was lost through the 9/11 incident. No one seems to want to do any investigative work to find out who was shorting the market that, at that time to make $8 trillion. I decided to investigate to see if anybody paid taxes on $8 trillion around the world, and I found out no one did. This led me to believe that this was that very group that was created in 1989, that it consisted of the president, the Treasury Secretary, the Fed Chairman, the SEC Chairman, Commodities Future Trading Commission Chairman. These guys were in control of this money after it was lost. That was all that money that went up to prior to that 2001 was saved up money from the Americans. They had saved 3 decades and gambled it in the stock market, thinking it was a safe investment vehicle, when in fact it was a Ponzi scheme that was deliberately created to steal. So from 2001 on up to 2008, we have people doing nothing but borrowing off their homes, off their jobs, and doing the same thing, gambling that money, that borrowed money, and again, trying to invest it in the stock market. The same group decided to bring down the market because it was overbought, and another $6 or $7 trillion has been lost. As far as the citizens, they've lost all that money again. Again, nobody is checking and following where this money is actually going. Up to this day, $14 trillion has been stolen from the Americans, and this is the reason why we're seeing 550 to 600,000 new job claims being filed every single week of every single month for the last 6 to 8 months. We're losing 2 million jobs a month in this country for the very fact that not only the money is being stolen, but because the political system is sold out to a communist country that is using slave labor to manufacture practically everything in the world. So this is, the world is not heading toward a bright future. It's heading toward back to this Babylonian master-slave system that works off of contracts. I stated in other programs in Black's Law Dictionary that their definition of hell is called the Treasury Department. It is impossible for anybody to enter into hell or this Treasury Department without signing a contract under oath. I find it odd that both of these ethical questions are being addressed by Jesus in just one simple scripture that kind of led me to investigate all this, and it was found in John chapter 3, verse 19, and he states it like this: "And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So I looked up the word deeds in Black's Law Dictionary, and it gives me the definition that deeds are nothing but contracts. So I found that this is very interesting, that between the commandment that Jesus said not to swear an oath, and that this whole contract system is based upon rigged documents, an extortionary government that is now implemented, 5 institutions now called the Working Group on the Financial Markets that are now manipulating the markets. And what they're doing is, for the last 6 months, they've pumped up the markets, and they're about ready to start dumping the stocks and start stealing the money on the way down. Most people think in terms of making money on the way up. This group knows how to make it on the way down and steal not just hundreds of billions, but literally trillions.
And yeah, it's kind of easy to knock it down if you know how to make money when it's going down. It's kind of easy to knock it down.
Especially when they're the ones that are also putting the money in there to draw in more investors or modern-day suckers, as they would put it. As people start thinking that the water is fine to dip their toe in and take what remaining money they have, if they have anything left after $14 trillion has been stolen from them, what is going to happen is we don't have a country that makes anything, and this is not a jobless recovery. This is no recovery at all. As I stated before, according to the state's unemployment claims coming in every single week, 550 to 600,000 people are losing their jobs. So for them to call this a jobless recovery is really inaccurate. They are not creating anything. But future chaos with so many people losing their jobs. So between the money being stolen through the stock market and the exit of manufacturing jobs out of this country into the slave labor camps of China and India that are working for 50 cents an hour, this country is literally getting devastated from both ends, because not only they're losing their money, but they're losing their jobs at the same time. The next down plunge in the stock market will be absolutely devastating, and it will rocket downward. It will not take months. It will be devastatingly quick, because there is no more borrowed money to prop it up. There is no savings from people working in this country to prop it up. Therefore, we're going to see the price of everything deflate, and deflate incredibly fast.
You know, you're the second person to mention on the air, and now I actually heard it from you first as we casually talked, but we have another alternative economist who's on the show, and he mentioned about the deflation. He was saying people are talking about inflation, but he brought up and emphasized the deflation. And I said, well, you know, there's a couple people talking here who are thinking out of the box. People better listen. And so what I've done is, what I'm going to be doing is, as I get my paychecks and whatnot, I'm going to cash them and keep cash and then pay my bills out of my savings so that I can have cash on hand in case there's any kind of a run on the banks and whatnot.
Yeah, and I highly suspect that there will be not only run on the banks, but that there will be what I call withdrawal limits, because this government and the banking institutions that are controlling it would like to get their hands on every single digit and dollar that isn't nailed down. And the only way people can protect themselves is to get it out of the banking themselves under their own control. The truth is, prices are falling everywhere in the world, and they will continue to fall fall for years. People from New York to even New Delhi are losing their jobs. People without jobs do not go out on shopping sprees. They don't buy things like homes or cars. That's the reason why we're seeing your home mortgaging giants go under, your car companies go under. Instead, people are trying to sell their homes, sell their cars. They can no longer afford them. They desperately need to raise cash. This is what's going on all over the world right now. But what is deceiving people is that there's a strong delusion and rhetoric coming from the White House and Wall Street to convince them that inflation is going to rise up and literally create higher prices on everything. These are the same people that are trying to tell people to buy homes 2-3 years ago that crashed, and tell them that the price of oil at $150 a barrel was, they were telling them that it was going to go up to $300 and $400, that we had an oil glut oil shortage, they were saying. Instead, everything fell, and fell dramatically. And the stock market went from, you know, they were telling them that buying the Dow at 14,000 was a buying opportunity, when it's, instead it fell from 14 all the way down to 6,500. This was a lot of money that was stolen, even more so than the money that was stolen on 9/11. These are all indications to me that another scam is coming right around the corner. They've artificially propped up the stock market again. This thing is about ready to top out, and it's, next time it plunges, it will be incredibly fast, and I'm afraid this will be probably the last main crash that will send the Dow probably below 3,000. No one will invest in the stock market ever again for the next 40 years if this country even exists that long. So what we are facing today is probably one of the worst economic scenarios that I've ever tried to examine. And every way I look at it, I'm seeing all the wrong moves being made coming out of Washington, all the wrong rhetoric coming from the Federal Reserve, and a lot of people trying to hide the truth. And I cannot emphasize enough that we are in a deflationary depression that is grinding into an even worse case scenario. How bad this gets is anyone's guess, but it doesn't look good. And I know nobody wants to hear that, but looking at how many people are losing their jobs is really scaring people. And until you can get a country manufacturing things again and getting back on their own feet again, and the very essentials of life being met again for them to pay for their homes and their cars, you're going to continue seeing mass layoffs, mass amounts of people trying to sell things, and this is going to depress prices. It is not going to raise prices. So one of the biggest lies that I'm setting right now is that people are being told to buy gold right now at probably the highest price I've ever, we've seen in our lifetimes. They're told that it's going to double in price very quickly because the dollar is going to be completely abandoned around the world. They're being told that China is buying gold, and they're essentially being told to invest in gold, invest back in the stock market, and both of these are being artificially propped up for the next heist. And all of this money is, of course, that's going into it, will be stolen. And this is the way governments operate nowadays. This is what the financial working group on the markets does. They go in and steal people's hard-earned money. They'll steal their borrowed money. They will steal everything that isn't nailed down. And the people on Wall Street know what I'm talking about. But the average person that is trying to save up a few bucks and throw it into the stock market don't realize that it's being controlled by this group. And this is how they turn the masses into a $14 trillion loss. And that's why they're losing their jobs. So the way a person can protect themselves through all this is not invest in the stock market, because it is a rigged game for the very purposes that I've laid out. One is going to have to go back to the very essentials, and that is to work, for a living, save for money, work for money, save it, and get it out of the hands of the banks, because all this bailed out money toward the banks is not going to save them. They are still going to go under. There is a tremendous amount of derivative gambling that is called the shadow banking derivatives scandal that is mounting into the hundreds of trillions of dollars, and that's what these bailouts were simply given directly to the banks to shore up their balance sheets to make them look good for 6 or 8 months. The problem is they're still losing a lot of money, and people are not paying on their mortgages. they're losing their homes, and they're because the simple reason, they're losing their jobs. But this is compounded by this shadow banking gambling around the world that is compounding the problem at a level that no one can even comprehend. So this is another factor that I can't go into. Maybe someone with a little more insight can go into this. But
we did have Catherine Austin Fitz on, and she talked about shadow banking and a couple other people. So, I mean, it laid out how they're taking the money offshore and doing things, and once it's offshore, there's no record, you know, no tell, you know, anything goes.
Yeah, and they don't have to pay anything. Governments don't.
So let me ask you, I mean, before we run out of the segment, we've still got another maybe 10 minutes, but what do people put their value in then? Because if you use, say, the dollar, I mean, we all know that that dollar is an arbitrary kind of value that can go up and down, and for that matter, the euro or just about any other major currency is all kind of, we'll call it funny money. And if gold is not a refuge, gold coins or whatnot, what would you suggest?
For the short term, as if the scenario that I laid out happens, what people will see is that the stock market will start rolling over and diving. As money starts getting scared, it will automatically roll into the dollar, and that will boost the dollar up against the other major currencies that it trades against. This will be a good short-term place to put your money, but then again, do not trust the banks. Do not put it in there, because for the limit withdrawal problems I see ahead, you only have a $19 billion insurance on so-called $4.4 trillion that is supposed to be saved up in this country by the people. $19 billion is not going to cover for very long. So the banks are not going to make their promises good as far as shoring up the insurance, the FDIC insurance. It's only $19 billion. They're running out of money. So this will force the government to put withdrawal limits on the people, which is another way of saying confiscation of their money. So the safest is to get the money out of the bank before the other people figure it out, or that $19 billion gets sucked up. This is what I anticipate around the corner. I don't think we're going to have much of a Christmas season. Retail will get devastated. But that's the only answer I have on a short term. I would have to re-examine everything after I see the scenario unfold itself.
So it's going to be kind of fluid. So at first we're going to end up using the American dollar because the gold is going to crash. But then we might want to move it around. You know, it's going to be kind of a fluid way to kind of be ahead of the plan.
Since putting money in the bank does not give you much of a return anymore, there is no risk to take it out and get it under your own
mattress.
Control.
Yeah, put it in your mattress or something. Just like they used to do years ago. It's going, you know, there's a cycle. We're going back to it.
Yeah, and this is a deflationary depression as I read it. I would not get on this program and say this unless I have enough facts to back it up. And I think I've related enough of those facts to be convincing. I've always made the right decisions myself financially in the past, but the facts today are even more clear than they were in the past when I made my own financial decisions. So to me, I have no problems, you know, making these statements on your program. To me, I'm 100% convinced that prices are going to crash and fall for many months and possibly years to come. How they treat the monetary system after the collapse, then I have to re-examine how much inflation they're going to actually put into the economy in the hands of the people. So far, they're putting it in the hands of the banks. That money is not being loaned out. Therefore, it is not being highly leveraged into the economy. Therefore, it's not creating any inflation.
You know, that's so important. And when I mentioned we had chatted before about it, I mean, it's so important. It's such a simple thing. And when you hear it, you say it, it's like, Oh, yeah. I mean, in order for inflation, it has to actually get out here somewhere. And if they're just using it to make their books look pretty, well, then, you know, we owe that money as a country, and yet there's no spendability of it. It's kind of lost in a black hole, but the end results was the actual opposite of what people would think, which would be inflation with extra money being printed. But it's not being printed. It's not coming out here to be spent to thus drive the prices up.
Yeah, the only inflation you're seeing is a few hundred thousands of jobs being created by the government to just create government jobs. That's it. You know, that's why you don't see a minus category in the government sector, but along the private sectors, everybody's losing their jobs. The money is naturally created by the Federal Reserve. The U.S. government just taps into it and creates as many jobs as they wish. Unfortunately, it's used to control the private sector, but nonetheless, that's what's going on. So there's just not enough inflationary money being created on the government side to cover the trillions of dollars that have been lost, not to mention the tens of trillions of dollars that have been lost in the value of homes. People can't borrow off their homes to invest. People cannot borrow off their jobs to invest anymore. Everything is in the negative. This is not a jobless recovery. They're losing 500,000 to 600,000 jobs a week. This is what the states are recording in their unemployment claims. So these are devastating numbers. If they keep this up for another 6 months, this is these numbers turn into a lot of homeless people. Because they're not going to be able to pay for their homes and their cars and go on shopping sprees and boost prices up. So common logic tells you that the price of things are actually going to come down and hard on these overinflated bubbles, such as the stock market and gold.
I mean, I just bought a house in February or in May, and I could tell you that I had to jump through so many strings, and it ended up taking 30 days longer than they projected as they hemmed in. It wasn't a question of the credit rating, which seems to be the big gauge. It almost seemed like they were covering themselves for lending the money to me. Like, okay, we got to make sure that if this guy can't pay for it, that we have enough data to back up our accepting it. Is kind of how the perception I got from it. Whether I could or not is irrelevant. It's do they have the numbers to make their bosses say, well, okay, well, you couldn't help that one. It looked good or something. And it's almost like they're preparing for this.
Yes, the banks are actually very, very scared of what's coming down the road. It's absolutely devastating. And some parts, I don't know, it's just too depressing to talk about.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I'm trying to talk about it in an analytical sense as if we're watching from the moon or something, but we're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, in normal times, banks wouldn't hold the trillions in bailout funds for, you know, for very long. They would loan it out over and over. The bank loaning multiplier would go to work. The trillions of dollars would get leveraged with derivatives up to 100 times. Banks would create upwards of hundreds of trillions in new debt. This is how new money is created. In the past, all this new credit would bring about an explosion of economic activity. What we have today, though, is a complete deflation of money, not creation. It's not getting out into the economy. It's not creating jobs. It's not creating businesses. It's if you just study some of the little strip malls around a city, you'll start seeing businesses folding up. The square footage is not being paid. There's a commercial loan problem coming next month that it will be absolutely devastating, and that is in real money, not this artificial derivative money. That's like a $1.4 trillion that has to be paid. So the commercial loan industry is going to get hammered in September, and I don't think the stock market is going to be pumped up during this time frame. So I think if anybody has some stocks, they better consider getting out of just about every stock in the country right now. I know
basically, again, we're going back to convert your stocks into dollars and pull out your dollars and stick it somewhere safe physically in your house, because as much as it we're almost being led believe that the dollar is not safe, it's going to be the place at this point in time, at least for now, because any other form is going to crash.
Another indicator is if the government was really believing their own rhetoric of inflation, they would start printing out $500 bills and $1,000 bills like they did, you know, in Argentina, like they did, you know, in Latin America when they had massive inflation. This is one of those small tidbit indications that they have no intentions on going above the $100 bill. Okay. So, you know, it's just something to consider. If they were really believing their own rhetoric of inflation, they would create a higher note.
That's true. Just like they did in Germany. I was just reading Einstein's biography, and they were talking about post-World War I, you know, when people were getting paid by the day hundreds of thousands of the German mark or francs or whatever it was back then. Anyway, well, I appreciate your warning, and people should take this seriously. And again, I do put your tidbits up by themselves so people can share them, and we have the whole show up. But I do keep a web directory, and people can go to your site, holyvirus.net, as well to get these things. And again, I appreciate you taking the time to give us this warning so we can take action.
Well, I appreciate it very much. I always enjoy being on this program.
All righty, we'll be back with This Week in Free Energy right after this.